Welcome to Action Chapel International. We are one church in many locations worldwide. We are so excited that you took the time to join us today to feed on God's Word and to enrich your spirit. We know that your life will never be the same. Now please join us for this powerful message.
You stand on your feet with your hands lifted up to God, everybody. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father.
Once again.
We have come to your feet from different walks of life. From different upbringing. To experience and encounter you like never before. We need a new experience. A new encounter. We need illumination. Give us a transformation. Let the veil be destroyed. Let spiritual blindness be destroyed. Raise our consciousness. In the name of Jesus, let our spirits be released from the hand of the enemy. Let our soul be released in the name of Jesus. Let our bodies be loose, unconditionally, detached, disengaged, disentangled from every bombardment, manipulation, projection, ill wills, negative currents, negative energy. In the name of Jesus, we disentangle ourselves from every snare, traps, setups, ambushments of any kind, shape, or form. Oh, Spirit of the living God, now let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Have your way in this service. Let the limits break. Restrictions break. In the name of Jesus. Now let the atmosphere be conducive for the move of God. Let the healing powers, the therapeutic healing powers of God be released. We release. We stir up the healing streams of God in the house. In Jesus' name, well, give God some praise and a shout. Last week we talked about contending for your prophecy, your promise, and your inheritance. And I've been reflecting since last Sunday, and I find out that one of the reasons why we don't contend for our prophecy and the inheritance and the promises of God is because we are not persuaded. We are not persuaded about it. But if we are persuaded against all odds and in the face of contradiction and every complication of life, we will stand our ground and fight for what is ours. And we live in times and days that without persuasion, if you are not careful, you won't even travel. There's so much uncertainty and the fear of the unknown. There's so much going on in our world today that without persuasion, you might lose it. But persuasion is the ability or the audacity to go for the ultimate, even when there is an alternative and a way out. You still go for the alternative and you still go for the ultimate and not for the alternative. And it might be expensive, but yet, if you are persuaded, your attitude will be different. If you are persuaded that there shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling, then it does not matter what. If you are persuaded, you will hold on to that promise. Say, I hear you. Turn to somebody and say, this morning, are you persuaded? That is what it's going to take. That is what it's going to take to make a difference. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy 1 and 12. 2 Timothy 1 and 12. For this reason,
for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
I am persuaded.
Yes, sir.
That is the key. Being persuaded, being convinced beyond the shadow of all doubt. I am persuaded. That is what makes men men, and that is what separates boys from men and girls from women. Persuaded. Are you clapping? I am persuaded. Nothing can convince me. There's no room for compromise. I am committed, and I'll put anything on the line because I am persuaded. Philippians 1 and 6.
Being confident of this very thing,
or being persuaded of this very thing, same word,
that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
He's able. He who has begun a good work in you shall perform it, will finish it. You have to be persuaded of the promises. You have to be persuaded of the scriptures, because we live in days and in times that if you are not persuaded, anything can move you out of the way. There are voices out there, whisperings, that unless you are persuaded, you can be circumvented. They can sabotage your faith. It takes being persuaded to become unmovable. The other day, Paul said, nothing moves me anymore. When you come to a place where nothing moves you, it's not just about your faith, it's about being fully persuaded. Turn to somebody and say, you must be persuaded. You must be persuaded. Turn to somebody else and say, I need you. I need you to be persuaded. Put your hands together and thank God. Philippians 3:3.
For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh.
Have no confidence in the flesh. I was telling somebody that this is a generation of kids and people who are smart than their fathers and mothers, and yet they are weak in character. Because the kinds of things we took, the kinds of things we were subjected to, that we went through in growing up to become who we are, our kids can't go through it. They are smart because of social media, technology. Very smart, but are weak in character. I used to sleep in a train at the train station in Accra when I was growing up. And if you don't wake up early, the train will carry you to Insawam somewhere. By the time you wake up, you're in another town. This generation, some of us grew up without even a fan. This generation, they can't sleep without an air condition. They complain about everything. You need to be persuaded to stay in the church. Because if you are not persuaded, you will follow your friends to a church you should not be part of. Because, you see, people go to churches because their friend invited them. It's not because they are planted. It's not because they are persuaded. It's a friendly. It's a church you attend because all your schoolmates go there. A social media church. Are you hearing me? Everything is conducive and nice, and you see friend this, friend that, and you come in here and you are lost. You don't know where you belong. The church is not about friends. It's about being persuaded. And it's not about being happy. I'm happy. You think life is about happiness? Life is not about happiness. You must be persuaded. You think I'm happy to preach to you every Sunday? No, I'm not. And you can look at it any way you want to look at it. And after the service, don't come and tell me you shouldn't have said that. I've said it. Because it's not about happiness. Paul said the other day, he said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel, for a necessity is laid upon me. No, it's not about feelings. It's not about the way you feel. It's a necessity. It's a responsibility. It's a choice. And happiness has nothing to do with peace or joy. Happiness is an emotional feeling. A young man chasing this pretty young lady, after so long a time she won't give in, and suddenly she says, yes. And the young man takes her out for a lunch, and after lunch they are riding through these beautiful hills and valleys and beautiful streams around, greens all over the place. And the girl holds his hands and he feels cool, and suddenly he's happy and she's happy. Happiness has to do with happenings. Peace have nothing to do with happenings and circumstances. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So I can be going through rough times physically and still have peace and still have joy, because peace and joy is a spiritual fruit. It's not a feeling or a state of mind. Somebody put your hands together. Give God a shout. It looks like this generation, all they know is being happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. He makes me happy. You want to marry somebody because she makes you happy, you are sick. If you marry based on happiness, you've missed it. I don't expect Rosa to make me happy. I didn't marry her to make me happy. Happiness is my own decision. It has nothing to do with her. It's my choice and it's my decision. It's the choices I make in life, wrong or right, that determines my happiness. It's not how she looks. It's not her perfume. And how cute she looks. It's my personal decision. I didn't marry her to make me happy. I have to learn to be happy myself before I marry. If you are marrying for somebody to make you happy, you've missed it. That was the way I felt when I was young, the first time I married. Want to make somebody make me happy. Happy, where you feel. It's not about feelings. Sometimes I don't feel good. And sometimes I feel some way. But I learn to master my feelings. Somebody say, mastering, mastering. You know what mastering is? Mastering simple means when it doesn't matter anymore and when it does not hurt anymore. So you can betray me. You can say whatever you want to say about me. You can whisper about me. You can misrepresent me. You can have the wrong perception of me. It really doesn't matter to me. I can't control your actions, but I can control my response. I refuse to let your action determine my response. I will master my response and master my feelings. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you believe me, put your hands together. Somebody, give God some praise in the house. If you choose to be sad, it's your decision. Hear me. You are where you are for a reason. You are what you are for a reason. You choose to be sad, it's a choice. You choose to be happy, it's a decision. I can't make that decision for you. I got me to take care of me. I'm not going to let your attitude and your action determine my response. All these happiness, happiness, happiness babies. A generation smart but weak in character. And it's not their fault. It's the fault of we parents. We protect them, including me. We protect our children from everything. But you know what has made me tough? And I'm not saying that should be the situation. What made me tough was the fact that I grew up in the ghettos. Are you hearing me? And when you are sleeping in the night, you have to sleep in a way and manner to protect your shoes from your friends. Protect your socks and your money from your friend, because you wake up in the morning, your shoe is gone, your socks is gone, your money is gone, and you don't know who took it. Survivor of the fittest. This is a generation that don't even know how to clean their room. They don't know how to clean their room. This is a generation of young girls don't know how to cook. Pretty, but can't cook. Pretty but can't clean. And you brothers, you think it's for the ladies alone. Handsome, but don't know how to shave your armpit. Handsome, but don't know how to use deodorant. Handsome and don't know how to take care of your breath. When you open your breath, you release intercontinental ballistic missile. Okay, don't mind me. Let me go off now. Let me stay. Let me stay on my message. Hallelujah. Okay, don't mind me. Let's go on now. Let's go on. Jesus. You see, the devil don't want you to be persuaded. He wants you to be unstable. He wants you, to be in and out of your faith. But he's going to take men and women in the times we live in, with the uncertainties across nations and the fears of the unknown and the tragedies happening all over the nations of the world. There's fear everywhere. Uncertainties, a feeling of danger, and with all that the world is dealing with that confronts us each day, you and I, as believers, like never before, we need to be persuaded of what Scripture says. For 1,000 shall fall on my side, and 10,000 on my right hand. It shall not come near thee. For only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Hallelujah, somebody. You got to be persuaded of the scriptures that declares, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment against me, I shall condemn. You must come to a place, like Paul said, nothing moves me anymore. You got to come to a place and believe, as the prophet Isaiah said, get your loins and be broken in pieces. Yea, take your counsel and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand. For God is with us. Is anybody hearing me? Put your hands together and give God some praise and a shout in the house. How persuaded are you this morning? 2 Chronicles 32. Verse 11 to the 19th verse, 2 Chronicles. And I'm speaking to the youth. I'm speaking to the youth today. I need the youth to be persuaded about your father's faith, your mother's faith. I need you, the youths, to be leaders and not followers. Don't let people influence you and say, come to my church, visit me, come here, and you follow people. You, I tell my children, you are not followers. You are leaders. You are born with a leadership DNA in your blood. Be leaders. Don't follow people. Be persuaded about what you have. Go ahead. Look at something.
Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to
work
die
with
by
me on
farming?
The sound. Work with me on the sound. Me, all the guys. I want to hear you clearly. Go ahead.
Doth not Hezekiah persuade you to give over yourselves to die by famine and by thirst? Say, the Lord our God shall deliver us out of the hand of the king of Assyria. Have not the same Hezekiah taken away his high places and his altars and commanded Judah and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall worship before one altar and burn incense upon it? Know ye not what I and my fathers have done unto all the people of other lands? Were the gods of the nations of those lands any ways able to
you
deliver
see,
their lands?
You are going to face situation when people will threaten you based on their experiences in life. I'm telling you. You know, one of our brothers, he was at the first service and he worked somewhere, I don't want to mention the name of the place, and he came to see me 2 years ago and he said, Papa, there's this guy, he's a political appointment. He doesn't know the job, I have the experience, and I'm willing to serve him because I want to obey authority. But he's just on my case, threatening to fire me, to throw me out of this place to some village, and I don't know what I've done, and he's throwing his weight all over the place because he has power. And I said, are you sure you haven't done it? He said, Papa, I'm innocent. I said, bring anointing oil. So he brought the oil. I prayed over it. And I made a simple declaration. I said, Father, what is the use of this brother or this man, whoever he is? What is his value to your agenda on earth? What value, contribution, does he bring or makes to your plan for this nation? Why should he therefore trouble your anointed? And I said, let his address be changed from the living to the land of the dead. Now, when I pray those prayers, it's not imagination. I pray according to inspiration. Because sometimes I say things I don't even know what I'm saying and where it came from. The Spirit gives me the utterance and I speak accordingly. I was in America when Kofi called me and said, Papa, something has happened. I said, what happened? He said, we went to office yesterday and we heard a scream in this guy's office and we rushed into his office. By the time we got there, he was on the ground dead. You hear me? He was dead. One of the things this generation don't know, one of the reasons why they are not persuaded about their faith, they don't have spiritual encounters. They haven't experienced this God of their father and their mother. So anything moves them. You know, I was telling them at the first service that I had this guy, Bishop Matthew Akambu. He's now my bishop in Hamburg, Germany. He used to work at the association school many years ago when we started Action. And there was this guy who, every time we gather in the evenings to have our meetings on Saturdays, he would come and set up his radio and blast the radio just the time when we are praying and worshiping. And it was constant, week after week. One day, he pushed me to the wall. You see, one thing you shouldn't do, don't push people to the wall who have experience of God. I'm telling you, don't do it. And I told the people, there are people here who remember Bishop Nyako, and I said, point your finger at him. And when they did, I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus, by the going down of the sun, be relocated. And we went on. He was still playing his radio. Few days after I heard, he died. I'm just telling you something. Upe enamaria enyosi boba. Some of you are not used to this kind of Christianity. But I'm telling you something. If you want meat, don't go for a lion's child. You can go for a goat's child, but not a lion. You'll be devoured. Are you hearing me, somebody? I'm sending somebody a message. Turn to somebody and say, be careful, be careful. And this king of Assyria was boasting. He was boasting. And when Matthew heard it, he brought his talismanic and juju and everything and surrounded it. And got born again and lived in the house. He started our church in Togo, in Benin, and in Germany, in Hamburg. He's now a bishop. When he saw that encounter, he realized that, Charlie, these guys, they are not playing. No. It's not just Bible. There is something more than that. There's some power working here. And that was what the king of Assyria was boasting of, the fact that they have conquered every nation and every land. And they came in to make sure that the children of Israel were not persuaded in following the king of Israel to believe the king that God can deliver them from the hands of the king of Assyria. He said, don't fool with us. We are very powerful people. We have experience. We've conquered every nation, and Israel will also be conquered. And as much as the king was assuring them of God's power to deliver them, the king of Assyria sent people to go in there and to whisper, to put fear in people, to derail and make sure they were not persuaded about the fact that God can deliver them. There are whisperings in the house. People who whisper to you, don't follow that Duncan Williams. Don't follow that Papa. He doesn't know what he's saying. And you are here, but you are not here. You are here, but you are divided. Because you are hearing other voices. You are not persuaded about your commitment to the house. You are not persuaded about your giving. You are not persuaded about the promises. You are not persuaded about the scriptures. So you are in and out. But I dare you from this day to be persuaded. Because God cannot lie. He means what he says. Are you hearing me, somebody? And you need to be persuaded to be planted where God has put you. You need to be persuaded. Even in giving, you need to be persuaded. Go ahead. Go ahead. Say something.
Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of my hand? That your God should be able to deliver you out of my hand.
You see, these guys were boasting, arrogance, intimidation, threatenings, inhibitions, mockery, making mockery of our God. I rebuke every spirit of mockery. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we will not be ashamed. Let nobody, let no man, let no woman think they can mock us. We refuse in the name of Jesus to become a mockery. Just because of your victories, the victories of your past, and the fact that you conquered other nations, don't give you the audacity to assume that you can conquer us. Our God is not their God. I'm telling you, their God is not our God. We serve a different God. He's the living God. He's the I am that I am. When Moses met him, he said, what is your name? He said, go tell the children of Israel and Pharaoh that I am, that I am. That is my name. I am. Somebody say, I am. Go ahead, quickly.
Now therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this manner.
You see? Again. Read it again.
Now therefore, let not Hezekiah deceive you.
He said, let not the leadership deceive you. There are people who tell you we are deceiving you. We are deceiving you. After 40 years of preaching, I'm still deceiving people. Sometimes you don't understand people. And then he said,
let him persuade you.
Or persuade. The enemy don't want you to be persuaded. He wants you to believe. Don't be persuaded. Because when you come to the place where you are persuaded, nothing moves you anymore. You have alternatives, but you don't take it. You go for the ultimate and willing to pay the higher price. Go ahead.
Neither yet believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand.
You know, sometimes you can be in a very tight place. Tight. In debt. Everything is against you, and the enemy threatens you. You are going to lose your property. You lose everything. You lose your land. They are coming after you. In the name of Jesus, by divine authority, we override any such threatenings. Any such threatenings and possibility, we interrupt it in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus, we interrupt it right now. We block it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I know you are afraid. And sometimes we are human, and it's okay to be afraid. But don't be afraid to the point where you lose your faith in God. Don't be afraid to the point where the enemy overrides you. It's good to be afraid. Every now and then, you can be afraid. My God, but to a point, you got to shake it off. Are you hearing me, somebody? And say, I refuse to be afraid. Say, I refuse to be afraid. Go ahead, quickly.
How much less shall your God deliver you out of my hand? And his servant spake yet more against the Lord God and against his servant Hezekiah.
People speaking against God and the servant of God.
He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of my hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jews' speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall, to affright them and to trouble them, that they might take the city. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were the work of the hands of man.
You see, those gods they defeated were gods made by the hands of men. Your God was not made by the hands of men. Your God is different, so he cannot be defeated. And it doesn't matter what experience they've had. It doesn't matter what they are working with. I announce in the name of Jesus that they shall be disinherited of their powers. They will be dispossessed of their powers. They will be defeated this time around. If you believe it, say, I believe. Come with me to Romans chapter 4, verse 19 to 22. What makes a man strong in faith for 25 years? Fully persuaded when the wife's womb is dead and his body is dead, won't stagger at the promise of God. Fully persuaded, strong in faith, not weak in faith. Hey, that is being persuaded. Nothing moves him. Throw everything at him and he's still standing. Being persuaded. Are you persuaded this morning? I'm not feeling you. How persuaded are you this morning? Are you persuaded? If you are, then put your hands together and give God some praise in the house. Tell somebody, I am persuaded.
Go ahead. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead.
Now dead. His body was not just old, but dead. When the organs weren't functioning. Everything was dead. Corruption. Go ahead.
When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb.
Sarah's womb was also dead.
He staggered not at the promise of God through
unbelief. He did not stagger at the promise. Didn't stagger. Had no doubt about what God had said. No doubt. Go ahead.
But he was strong in faith.
But strong in faith, giving glory to God. Go ahead.
And being fully persuaded that.
That's the word. That's the word. Being what?
Fully persuaded.
Come on, talk to me. Fully what?
Persuaded.
Is anybody here persuaded? Are you persuaded about the word of God this morning? You persuaded about your God and your faith this morning? If you are, put your hands together. Give him some praise. Go ahead.
And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness.
My God, my God. You have to be persuaded. You know, even to travel in the times we live in, you have to be persuaded. To live in hotels, you have to be persuaded that there shall no evil befall you, that no plague shall come near your dwelling. You have to be persuaded. Because if you are not persuaded, you will always be living on the edge, on the edge, on the edge, on the edge. But in the mix of the unrest and all that goes on around us, he that keepeth us shall neither slumber nor sleep. Are you hearing me, somebody? The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from all evil. You must be persuaded. And if you are, put your hands together. Give God some praise for being persuaded. A lot of mental bombardments, all kinds of strange thoughts, emotional bombardments, and all your emotions is scattered all over the place. Today, I command the coming together of your emotions. I command the healing of your thought patterns and of your emotions. Being fully persuaded. You know, I was watching CNN the other day, and this situation that took place in Turkey. The police shot this guy, and even at that point of death, he still reached out to trigger the bomb and to blast himself and die. You know what that is? That is not belief. That is being persuaded. That until he dies, blast himself, he hasn't done it. And nobody is asking you to kill yourself, but to believe the word and hold on to it, and you are acting some way. Who clap? Who clap? Who clap? Did you clap? Hebrews 11 and 13. Hebrews 11 and 13, quickly.
These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them.
They were what?
Persuaded of them.
They didn't see it. They saw it afar off. They didn't receive it. But they were what? Persuaded. Hey. That is what it's going to take. That is just what it's going to take. Being persuaded is what will cause you to be at peace. In the midst of storms, I preached a message many years ago. Maybe I need to visit it again. Courage in the midst of the storm. In the midst of the storm, you still have courage. And I preached it in one of the most difficult times of my life, when I was going through some storms. And the Lord said, go preach it. And I said, after the storm, he said, no, preach it now. And the storm will end. And I preached it like no storm. And the storm ended. You know, somebody said in those days that there's a lot of mess in action in those days. And I said, it doesn't matter what the mess is. At the end of the day, our ark will land and rest on a mountain and not a valley. Because as much as there was a mess in Noah's ark, every mess you can think of was in Noah's ark. But at the end of the day, the ark rested upon a mountain, not in a valley. It doesn't matter what you are going through now. I declare, at the end of it, you will end on top of the mountain and not of the valley. Hear me. Look at me. It's not what you are going through that matters, but it is how you end. Are you hearing me? You can't judge me by where I am right now, because vindication is in the womb of time. Vindication is in the womb of time. You see, this is what God said to Abraham. He didn't have kids at that time. In Genesis 15. And he said, Abraham, your descendants will go into captivity for 400 years. 400 years. They were there for 430 years. There was a reason for that 30 years. Don't want to go into it. But hear me. 400 years. And he said, and after 400 years, they will come out with great substance. And the other day, David said, it was good for me that I was afflicted, because it has made me wiser. So it's not what you are going through that matters. It's what you come out with and how you come out of it. They went into captivity 400 years. But after 400 years, they came out with great substance. You know something? I don't care what you're going through, but I care about how you come out and what you come out with. And I prophesy today that you will come out with something. I said you will come out with something. You will come out with the upper hand. You will come out on the side of victory. You are coming out with something. If you believe, you are coming out with something. Put your hands together. Give God a shout and a praise. Everybody goes through something in this life. Everybody, including myself. We all go through things. So at the end of the day, it's not what you go through that matters. It's what you come out with. Because you're going to come out. But you either come out with something or nothing. The three Hebrew young men, they came out of the furnace of fire with a testimony. Daniel came out from the dens of lion with a testimony. Joseph came out of prison with a testimony. How are you going to come out of this situation? You are either going to come out with something or come out with nothing. And it all depends on the choices and the decisions you make and whether you are persuaded. Joseph was in prison, but he was persuaded about his dreams. The three Hebrew young men were persuaded about their God. Daniel was persuaded of his God. Are you persuaded? Because if you are persuaded, you are coming out with the upper hand. You are coming out with something. You are coming out with a testimony. You are coming out with a victory. Somebody put your hands together and give God a shout if you are persuaded that you are coming out with something. Come on, somebody put your hands together. Give God a shout. You know, hear me. Every now and then, somebody falls. A true story in America. This African-American guy was in a mall. And he was coming down the escalator wearing a white hat, a white walking stick, a white suit, a white tie, a white shirt, and a white shoe. And he slipped and he fell. And everybody was looking at him. Then suddenly, he took his hat, put it on, took his walking stick, and said, "Who cares?" Tell somebody, who cares? Everybody knows you have fallen. So stop talking about the falling. We know you are down. Get up! Tell somebody, get up. You know why people don't get up? You know why people stay where they are and they never get up? Shame. Shame. That's it. Shame. They don't know how to deal with shame. They can't handle shame. They can't handle shame. You can't justify shame. You can't justify it. So ignore it. Despise your shame. Master the feeling of embarrassment and public ridicule. Master it. And you are not going to be the first nor the last going through what you are going through. So master your feelings. Stop crying. You don't solve any problem by crying. Tears don't solve problems. Leaders solve problems. Followers talk about problems, but leaders solve it. Solve the problem. Rise up to the occasion. Why you look at me that way? Amen. They were persuaded. They did not obtain the promise. They saw it. And yet were persuaded about it. That is what is going to. Even to stay in this church, you have to be persuaded. I'm telling you. Because when I got born again, my father had problems with the church I attended in those days. And this church was a Pentecostal church. It was started by a missionary from the ailing Pentecostal. And my dad had all this mentality that all these missionaries came to take our gold and steal our monies. And he had issues with it. And I had problems with him because before I got born again, I was in the discos, the nightclub, everywhere. And I was hitting this dope marijuana thing heavy. And he didn't have problems with it. Now that I've gotten born again, I'm going to church and I've stopped those things. He had a problem with the church I was going and attacking the pastor of my church. And I had some issues with him. I said, "What's wrong with you, Papa?" Then years after, when he saw that I was persuaded, he followed me to the church. If you stand your ground and you are persuaded, they'll follow you to your church. They will know. They will know that Jesus is my Savior.
An attitude and an audacity. Go now. today that you will know. That you will know who your Savior is. You know what the three Hebrew young men said? They said, oh King, let it be known unto you that we will not consider this matter. And that God is able to deliver us. And if by any means he chooses not to deliver us, we will still not bow. We will not compromise. But we know that he is able to deliver us. And he will. But even if he chooses not to deliver us, we are not bowing our knee. Are you hearing me, somebody? That is what I'm talking about. Being fully what? Persuaded. Now, the Bible said that Daniel had some problems. When Daniel was promoted, the Bible said all the princes and the presidents in the realm came together with a conspiracy and went to the king and said, for the next 30 days, we don't want anybody praying to any other God but you. And that anyone that prays to any other God, let him be cast into the dens of lions. And Daniel heard it. And the Bible said that when Daniel heard that they have signed the decree sealed by the king's seal, he opened his window towards Jerusalem and he prayed three times a day as always and often and will not be moved because he was persuaded. And when they took him into the dens of lions, the lions were ready to devour because the lions were kept hungry and they were waiting for food. And when Daniel entered the place, he said to the lions, I am not your food. Your food is coming. I just came to announce to you that your food is on the way. I am a messenger of the Lord, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You can't have me. I am uneatable. I am unkillable. I am undiable. I'm not for eating. I'm not for the eating. Your food is coming. And the Bible said, the angel of the Lord shut the mouth of the lion. Any lion, any snake, any dragon that is looking for you and your children, we shut their mouth. We shut their mouth. We shut their mouth. Put your hands together. Shut their mouth. In the name of Jesus, shut the mouth. We summon the angel of the Lord. We summon the angel of the Lord. We subpoena the angel. Yay! To shut the mouth. Hear me. Sit down for 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. Let me finish. Let me finish. And hear me. Hear me. The angel shut the mouth of the lions. Not just lions, any human being under the sun who has a big mouth and is determined to destroy and devour you through character assassination or through any intimidation, we shut that mouth. We put a divine gag order on that mouth in the name of Jesus. We muscle that mouth. And Daniel said, lions, I'm not for the eating. Your meal is coming. The king could not sleep. Early in the morning, he went to the dens of lions and said, Daniel, are you still alive? Daniel said, King, live forever. For the God that I serve continuously. You see? I want the youth to hear me clear. The God that I serve continuously is not the God that I serve every now and then. The God that I serve when I feel like. The God when I serve, you know, sometimes I feel tired, I feel weak, I can't come to church, I have issues. The God that I serve continuously send his angels last night to shut the mouth of the lions. And the king said, get Daniel out. And all the people that put Daniel in this situation, they and their house, send them all into the dens of lions. Those who are setting us up, who are putting us through what we are going through, the next event of their life will be the vengeance of our God. The vengeance of our God. They will be put through the very things they put us through. Whatever they put you through, they are about to go through it. They will not survive. I said they will not survive it. They will not survive it. Put your hands together. Thank God that they will not survive it. Let me finish and pray right now. Let me finish and pray. I'm announcing something. I'm making a divine announcement. And I'm speaking to 150 nations on streaming right now and 24 countries across Africa on Dominion TV. I'm making an announcement and let it go on record. I call upon heaven and earth by divine authority. And I am declaring that the next major event in town will be the vengeance of our God. And those who has put us through pain and suffering and embarrassment and shame, it is their turn to go through what they put us through, to suffer what they put us through, and they will not survive. They will not survive it. If you believe it, put your hands together, give God a shout. Now, In conclusion, we'll continue on Wednesday. In conclusion, Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39. Christ shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, as it is written.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?
You know something? Everybody stand. Let's read it together. Put it on the screen quickly. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Quickly.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
Shall
tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?
All these things, listen, these things will try you. I'm just telling you. Those of you think that Christianity is the sign of the cross and being happy and everything beautiful, I'm just telling you, it's not like that. These are elements that will test your faith, and you must go beyond believing to the place of persuasion, that you are persuaded. Hey! Say hey! Say hey, 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 hey! Don't even try, it won't work. Go ahead.
As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long.
Kill all the day long.
We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors.
You are more than a conqueror.
Amen.
I said you are more than a conqueror. Amen. Tell two people you are more than a conqueror. Don't let your feelings tell you anything otherwise. You are more than a conqueror. God said so. God says you are more than a conqueror. How can I be more than a conqueror when I have all these strange feelings? How can I be more than a conqueror when I feel vulnerable? How can I be more than a conqueror when I see that sister, I begin to lose it? How can I be more than a conqueror when I don't see that brother in church, I lose my focus and concentration? It's not what you feel or what you are going through. It's what God has shout. How can I be more than a conqueror when I can't pay my children's school fees? How can I be more than a conqueror when I'm broke, when I'm in debt? Does not matter what is happening today. It's today, but tomorrow by this time, the story will be different. I said tomorrow by this time, the story will be different. I pray and command a change. Somebody say a change, a turnaround. finished my scripture. Finished.
Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Uh-huh. For I am persuaded.
I am what?
Persuaded.
I am what? You are what? You are what? You are what? You are what?
Persuaded.
Are you persuaded? That is what it takes to have a testimony. You hear me? That is what it takes to have a testimony. That is what it takes for your father and your mother in all the difficult times in this country to put food on the table, to pay your school fees and send you to abroad on vacation and put clothing on your body. It takes them being persuaded of their faith. It's now your turn. You also need to be persuaded to be able to raise up children and a family. Put your hands together. If you are persuaded, give God a shout. Youth, your parents don't tell you. Sometimes they couldn't even put food on the table and they never told you, but they put food on the table and they never told you how they did it because they were persuaded. It's your turn, and you need not just to be smart and weak in character. You need to be smart and be strong in character. How do you know? You need to be persuaded about the God of your father, your mother, and of your faith. You need to be persuaded. He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Hey, hey, I said, hey, I said, hey, my God, my God. I need somebody persuaded here today to give God a shout and a praise. Finish.
Nor height, nor depth.
Nor height, nor depth,
nor
any other creature,
shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus,
you know,
our Lord.
You know, that is Paul said, when Paul said, nothing moves me anymore. That means I've come to a point in my walk with God that it doesn't matter anymore. You know, Martin Luther King Jr., he did not inherit the promise of what he fought for and stood for, but he saw it. He came down one day and he said, I might not go with you, but I've seen the promised land. And it doesn't matter anymore. And it was after that he died. He saw the land. He did not enter. And he said, it doesn't matter anymore. What anybody says, I've seen it. My God Almighty. I need a generation of men and women in the Christian church that are so convinced and persuaded. Listen, young ladies, you got to be persuaded that God has a husband for you. You got to be so persuaded that God has a man and he's coming your way. You have to be so persuaded to summon that man and subpoena him in prayer. Are you hearing me, somebody? My God, my God, my God. You have to be persuaded not to be ashamed. You have to be persuaded not to compromise. This morning, it doesn't matter where you are. And watch who is standing. You see, that was the audacity of David. When David, a young man like he was, could stood before Goliath and dared Goliath. And the king was scared. Everybody was afraid for David. You know why? The young man was so persuaded about the covenant of Jehovah that he wasn't even afraid of a lion. He killed a lion. He killed a bear. What makes a human being so courageous to kill a lion and a bear and then had the audacity to go and fight a giant? God Almighty, he was so persuaded that nothing matters anymore. I dare you to be persuaded. I dare you to have divine audacity. Persuasion is audacity. Being able to withstand in the face of contradictions and adversity and say, come what may, I fear no evil. Today, I'm declaring prayer on your behalf. Let your faith be released. Let your conviction come alive. Leave here with a new attitude that you are persuaded. My God Almighty. The Lord said unto me Friday night, He said, son, Leviticus 23:24. He said, and on the first day of the seventh month of 2016, I want you to return to praying for the sick. Because seven is the end of a cycle. And he said, a cycle in your life has ended. Let the cycle be broken. Seven stands for the end of a cycle. And I'm declaring by divine authority today that every negative cycle, every evil cycle in your life, in your business, your health, your finances, and that of your children is broken in the name of Jesus. Put your hands together and say, break, 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 break. Praying for the sick. Friday night, at about 2:30 in the morning, Prophet Nana said, come and say, Papa, we need you here. So I have to leave my house about 3 o'clock and go to Pram Pram to close their service at 4 in the morning and pray for the sick, and I did it at the first service. I want to pray for everybody sick here right now. And those of you who have lost your hearing, deaf in both ears, or you've been deaf since you were born in one ear, can't hear, come forward. And I want those of you with growths and tumors, lumps, fibroids, touch yourself right now. Bones condition, marrow's condition, pain in the spine, the knee, the back. Whatever the situation is, as we pray right now, just touch yourself. My job is to pray. His job is to heal. And right now I'm going to be praying. Please stand on your feet as much as possible. Unless you are sick, you can stand. I want to pray for the sick right now. If you've lost any of your hearing and can't hear, please come forward. And I want to pray for everybody else. In the name of Jesus, Makadu Mahatala Hassan. I command the release of the therapeutic healing powers. Let the anointing of God be released right now. We stir up right now the healing streams in the name of Jesus. Let there be healings. Let there be deliverances. We break the curse. I need some of the pastors and bishops to come. Bring some microphones quickly and work with me right now. Whatever condition you have in your body, touch yourself right now. Please just touch yourself. Right now, just touch yourself right now as I pray. I command healings. I command breakthroughs in people's bodies. We attack the very root of that condition in your body. We rebuke every sickness. We cancel time-sensitive assignment. We break time-sensitive curses. Please interview them. Find out what their situation is before I pray for them. Quickly, quickly. In the name of Jesus, I command healings. I release the healing powers, the healing anointing, the healing ways over everyone here under the sound of my voice. And those of you streaming and on television, wherever you are, touch your screen right now. The healing power of God is here right now. Be healed of that condition right now. Recover from that condition right now. I rebuke and revoke the curse. Pastors, move with me before I begin to pray. Quickly, I need to know what the situation is. As you touch yourself right now, I send the healing anointing to you right now. I revoke the curse. Anything that plagued your father and your mother in the bloodline, in the DNA, you are released from it right now. You are released from that curse. You are released from that assignment. You are released from that situation. Be healed of fibroids. Be healed of growth. Of tumor, lung, cyst in the breast, the spine, the joint, the knee, the intestine, the kidney, the prostate, the liver, in the name of Jesus, the pancreas, whatever the condition is, I send prayers to you right now. I command your release. Any heart condition, any condition of the stomach, the body, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I command your healing. I command your recovery. I pronounce your healing now in Jesus' name. 3 years now. But you can hear from this. But these 3 years you can't hear from. Father, we rebuke the spirit of deafness. Under this anointing, we break that yoke and curse. We unblock your hearing. Command your hearing right now. be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, block the word here it and hear from. Speak from his back and see what's going on. Check it for how long? From birth. Deaf in this ear. But she can hear now. Okay. Do me a favor. I want her to block the one she can hear from. Okay. Which one was deaf? No, then take your hands off it. Okay. Block the one she can hear from. Take this off. Put a microphone on her mouth. Okay.
One. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can hear.
Now, somebody give God praise. Now, this lady's open. Somebody put your hands together. Say something from the back. Yes. Well, this guy couldn't hear from this ear for 3 years. For the first time, he can. People here, pastors, I need some here to tell me what's going on with these people. Please, quickly. Interview them quickly. Yes. I need sound. What is wrong with you, sound people? Are you sabotaging me?
I wake up for 2 weeks now. I can't walk. When I went to the hospital, they said there was a blood clot in my leg, DVT, and it's 2.7 and it's large. So I have to take injection, but still, I was sleeping on my leg. And I can't walk, but when you prayed for me, I'm okay now.
Walk, just run. You couldn't do that before. Somebody put your hands together and give God some praise in the house. Are you shouting? Are you clapping? Come on. Give God praise. Yes. Yeah, tell me what is it? 8 years. You've had what? You don't feel the heaviness? It lifted? Take a deep breath. Out. Somebody put your hands together. Give God praise. Is anybody praising God? Come on. You feel pain in your heart.
And it's so strong that I feel I'm about to die. I called a few pastors. Yesterday night to this morning, I felt it so strong. Mm-hmm. When I was at the prayer hand when you prayed for the first service people, I was so healed. It left, but I was a bit shy to come up. And I heard that the devil just wants me to stay back so the pain will come back.
So it's gone?
Yes.
You don't feel anything? Thank you, Lord. Jesus! Loose her now. Somebody put your hands together. Give God praise. I need somebody there to tell me what's going on. Why are you holding a microphone? I need you to talk to people. Yes, sir.
Yeah, Papa, good morning. This morning, all my body, I didn't feel well. So I decided not to come to church.
You weren't going to come to church?
Yeah. But now I am healed.
So what happened? How did you know you are healed?
Oh, Papa, I'm okay.
You're okay?
Yes.
You're not feeling the way you felt before?
Thank you very much.
It's lifted?
Yes.
Don't thank me. Thank Jesus. Put your hands together. He's putting me in trouble. Amen? Okay. Okay, before I come here, quickly, tell me what happened.
Yeah, I gave birth through operation.
You did and after what?
That, I gave birth through operation.
You gave birth through operation?
Yes.
Caesarean.
Uh-huh. And after that, I do feel something moving in my stomach at any time.
You feel?
Something moving in my
stomach. Something moving in your stomach?
Yes, please.
For how long now?
My son is 4 years now.
So 4 years now?
Yes.
Something has been moving in your
yes.
stomach. And yeah, what happened today?
I don't feel it anymore.
You don't feel it?
Yes.
Did you feel it? Did you? Was it there when you had?
No, but I've been feeling it.
You've been feeling it?
Yes, please.
And after the prayer, what happened?
I'm not feeling it.
You checked it?
Yes.
It's not there?
Yes.
Not even a lot of praise. Come on. Praise him. Yes. From them, why they are the frontier? Yes, yes, tell us.
Daddy, I'm grateful
Find
for the healing.
Why are they here? Yes.
The moment you picked the microphone, you started preaching.
Yes.
My whole pain has been paining me for 2 years now. I'm a pastor.
You're a pastor?
Yes. But when you started that we should lift up our hands, I felt something coming out of my back.
Your back?
Yes.
It was coming out?
It was just coming out. For any time I finish ministration, I cannot stand for more than 30 minutes. Uh-huh. And I was even programmed to come for deliverance this Friday. I couldn't walk. But when I came today, when you said we should lift our hands, I just felt something coming out of my back. And I'm so happy.
And all the I said something is coming out of your body. Every demonic injection, needles and arrows are coming out. If you believe it, shout yes. You've been having difficulties breathing?
I was discharged from Yahoo Clinic just about 3 weeks ago.
You were discharged?
From Yahoo Clinic.
From Yahoo Clinic?
Yes. Uh-huh. Just about 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago.
Every now and then I feel pain. But this morning I was having severe pain in my back.
You're having severe
and
pain?
Sometimes here.
Around here?
Yeah.
And your back?
Yes.
And what happened after the prayer?
I felt easy though. I mean, I woke up this morning. Actually, the intention was even not to come to church at all.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but I'm here and now I feel much better.
You feel better? You don't feel any pain? Somebody put your hands together. Come on. Oh, I'm not feeling you at all this morning. Can somebody pray?
For some time now.
Yes.
My health was not all that right. So uh-huh. This morning, I find it even very difficult to come to church. But when you were preaching about persuasion, I said I would never squeeze myself before sitting. So when you started praying, I prayed. So now I fall apart.
What was the problem?
My waist.
Your waist?
Back,
your back? You were in pain.
I just woke up one morning and I had sight.
And that was it?
That was
and you've
it.
Been in pain? And after the prayer, what happened?
I'm healed.
It's disappeared. No more pain. I declare there is no pain in your body from today. In the name of Jesus, put your hands together and give God praise. Yeah. Tell me about this lady. Yes.
Spondylosis.
Uh-huh.
And I was
praying. What is that?
Spondylosis.
Yeah, what is spondylosis?
Spondylosis is the spine.
Your spine.
The bones in my spine have been separated.
Wow.
I don't know how.
Uh-huh.
And now I've been to Kwalibu several times.
Uh-huh. And what happened now?
Now it has affected my leg, so uh-huh. I can't walk properly.
Uh-huh.
But when I was coming, I was able to come here.
You are able to walk. Take a walk, less. You couldn't do that before without pain. But you can do that now. And there is no pain. She said she couldn't do that without pain, but she's walking now without pain. Can somebody put your hands together and give God some praise for Mama? Hallelujah. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Come on. Somebody. Okay, walk faster. Let's see. No pain. Not even small pain. Come on, somebody. Give God some praise. Now. Somebody is healed. And are you praising God, somebody? Are you praising God? Let me hold you. Take a deep breath. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Relax. You are too tense. Why are you nervous? Relax. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's it. Let it go. Yes. Okay. Talk to me. Yes, tell me something.
She had appearances for 1 year.
She has what? Yeah, talk fast. We don't have time.
For 1 year. Uh-huh. And she always had pain here.
Uh-huh.
But when you were praying, the pain just disappeared.
Okay, what else? Where is the cyst? You felt it? Is it there? You felt it?
Yes, I did.
You feel the pain right now?
No, it's gone now.
It's gone. Somebody put your hands together. Give God some praise. Quickly. Yes. Uh-huh. 6 years. What happened? Bring the micro. I need a microphone here. Can you people move fast? Yes.
Somebody's been healed.
Yes.
Then I felt a touch that yes, you are healed. So I come forward.
But did you touch your cyst? Can
so
you feel the cyst?
I just touched my breast and now I couldn't feel
it. It's not
anything.
There. It's gone. It's somebody put your hands together. Can somebody give God praise? The cyst has disappeared.
I am the Lord.
Come quickly. Yes.
I have a problem with my breast. I used to feel severe pain that sometimes I can't even put on my bra. But the pain is all gone now.
It's gone.
Come
on, somebody put your hands together. Give God some praise. Somebody praise Him. Yes.
I also had a lump in my
breast. You had a lump in your breast. How old are you?
Painful.
You are how old?
25.
25. And you had a lump in your breast. And what happened now?
It's very painful, but I don't feel the pain anymore.
After the prayer, you touch it, it's gone. Somebody put your hands together. Somebody praise the Lord. Are you praising God, somebody? Are you praising God? Yes, quickly.
Papa, I had pain, kidney, stone in the kidney. Stone in the kidney about 12
stones
years ago.
In the kidney.
Yes, I was healed some time back, but I never gave a testimony.
You didn't give a testimony,
yes,
it came back.
Yes, and it came back. Uh-huh. I celebrated my birthday this June.
Okay.
And then he came back and it was like an attack. I was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And the pain has been very severe. Even this morning, I asked my wife to pray for me because I was telling her that my left side is sort of swollen up. Mm-hmm. And then the pain has disappeared.
So after the prayer, what happened?
The pain has just disappeared.
It disappeared?
Exactly,
yes. The swelling and everything
pain.
Is gone.
Yes.
The swelling is gone. The pain is gone. Somebody put your hands together and give God some praise quickly. Yes.
I was having a headache all the night.
Shh. You were what?
I was having headache all the night.
All the night?
Yes. Uh-huh. And when I came, I was still feeling the headache.
When you came to church?
Yes. Uh-huh. And what when happened? You said we should pray, uh-huh. So I put my head over my my hands over my head.
Yes.
And I stopped praying, and then it's gone.
It disappeared. Yes. Put your hands together. Somebody give God praise. Let's hear this lady quickly, and then this guy.
I survived a five-hour plus surgery.
Like, you what?
Survive an emergency 5 hours plus
surgery. 5 hours surgery. When?
In Liberia.
In Liberia?
I felt so all along.
Okay.
But when you said we should pray after the prayer, a flash left my stomach and I feel so comfortable.
Something
you
left your stomach.
Yeah.
And you feel free, like a flash.
Yeah, there's no pain.
Thank you, Lord. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Close your eyes. That's it. 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 Yes. Yes, sir.
Bishop, I was having a pain at my back for almost 1 year now.
Uh-huh.
And I have pains over my abdomen,
yes.
Two sides. I went for a checkup and the doctor said I have a little problem with my kidney.
You have problems with your kidney?
Yes. Anytime I sit there and I want to wake up, I feel sharp pains here.
Yeah.
But as the prayer came on now, everything is gone. I can't feel anything.
You can't feel anything?
I can't feel anything.
It disappeared.
Yes.
Give God some praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, quickly, quickly. This lady, this one, yes?
I had two lumps in my breast.
You had lump in your breast?
Two lumps.
Two lumps.
When we finish prayer, I don't feel it again.
You touch it, but it's not there.
Yes.
The lump disappeared. Somebody give God praise right now in Jesus' name. Yes, take this testimony, yes? Wow. Two lumps in her breast disappeared after the prayer. Is anybody praising God? Come on, somebody.
We know that you were blessed by that message, and we look forward to sharing God's word with you once again. For more information on this and many other Action Chapel International products and messages, you may visit our Dominion Bookshop located on the premises of Action Chapel, Spintex Road. Or you may call our offices on 030-701-1851. Or you may also visit us online at www.actionchapel.net. Once again, thank you for joining us today. And may your life continue to be changed in God's presence.